Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from various scriptures in the Bible. Please follow along with the scriptures on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I remember many years ago, there was one day when I had a really packed schedule. I had meetings line up one after another, and in order to squeeze everything that needed to be done, I left minimal margin for travel. Well, two appointments in, I could already see that what I had planned for my errands and my appointments was starting to take longer than expected. And as I kept looking at the clock for where I should have been minutes ago, not only was my stress level rising, but as soon as there was any sort of additional delay, I started to get upset internally. Judging the slow customer that held up the line at the grocery store, and then clenching my fist when the register light started flashing and now a manager had to be called over. Frustration with the person who was supposed to do what they said they were supposed to do, but didn't do it, causing me to now have to spend more time fixing what they should have done in the first place. Being short with a friend when he happened to call earlier than what we had originally planned and asked if we could talk now instead of later. Of course I can't talk now, which is why I said later. Then driving and listening to the news and getting more angry based on what I was hearing in the news. And we all know that everything that we are feeling internally will eventually spill out, right? Which transferred to my driving, because now I'm hitting traffic and I'm realizing that I have 5 minutes to get to my next meeting and my GPS says it will take 10 minutes. And so what do you do when you have limited time and you want to prove your GPS wrong? Well, you speed and you weave in and out of traffic like a maniac. Well, I was 2 minutes away from my destination and all I had to do was to turn down a side street, park in a parking lot, and then I'll be at my meeting, technically only being 1 minute late. But then a big pickup truck that is in front of me suddenly stops. And so I wait for like 2 seconds and the truck is not moving and I can't see around it. And so I did what most people would do, right? Most people would have given a nice courtesy honk, beep, beep, a nice short beep, because we are all civil drivers, right? Yeah, but not me. My honk was the press your horn all with your might kind of honk. Whereby you're pushing it all in with your tricep in the beep and the heel of your palm where it's going beep. And the guy stuck out his hand out of the window to signal if I could go around him. But there are cars parked on both sides of the street and he has a huge truck blocking the lane and I have a big car. And so how do you expect me to go around you and not hit the already parked cars because you have decided to stop in the middle of the street? And so what did I do? Seeing now that my GPS says that I'm going to be 6 minutes late, I banged on the horn again. The guy came out of his truck and started yelling at me, asking if I could just wait, saying that he was waiting for the car in front of him to pull out so that he could park. And a normal person would have been like, hey, sorry, man, I couldn't see, you know, thanks for explaining. But not me. I was so angry that he had the nerve to come out of his vehicle to yell at me that I stepped out of my car to confront him. And when I stepped out of my car and when he saw me, a change in expression came over his face to one of fear. And he immediately said, I'm sorry. I didn't say anything, but I returned to my car. And when he was pulling into that parking spot, I went around him and went to the parking lot of where my meeting was and just sat there. And I started to think, what am I doing? Did I have to scare someone so much so that he was forced to apologize? I was the one who was being the impatient jerk. I was the one who was prideful and thought others were beneath me. I was the one who should have apologized for my behavior, but I didn't. In fact, I did go to my meeting, and I did get everything that I needed to get done for the day. But I wasn't present because I was reflecting on the kind of person that I had allowed myself to become. You know, in the last part of our sermon series called Overwhelmed, finding God in our crazy busy lives, because when it comes to life, most people are feeling overwhelmed. People are overly stressed, angry, and burnt out because we're always busy and always in a hurry. And today, we're going to go back to the pivotal question that we were asking at the beginning of this series. Based on how I'm functioning, do I like who I am becoming? And if that answer is no, then it is imperative that we slow down in order to take the necessary steps to change the systems of how we are functioning. Because if we don't, we will continue to get the same results that we have been getting. And as I was reflecting with a close friend about that day, I told him that that wasn't actually me. I was just busy and was having a rough day, and I'm not usually like that. But he said something to me that I still remember to this day. He said, Edwin, that actually was you. It was just that the stress caused all that was in you to come out. The pride, the anger, the impatience, the harsh words, the retaliation, it all came out. See, it is easy to be smiley and happy when everything goes your way. And it's easy to be nice when people do what you want and people see that side of Edwin. But the real you also comes out when things don't go your way, when there is conflict and when you don't get what you want. And those are things that you have to look into, because all that is hidden will eventually come out and overshadow all that is seen. And he's right, because if our lives represent these cups, then this is what happens when we have overloaded schedules, are stressed, and are in a hurry, in a rush. We end up bumping into each other, and all these in here start to spill out. The marbles are our anger, our frustrations, our unprocessed emotions, our irritabilities, our bitterness and restlessness that we spill onto those around us. The marbles are our thoughts of shame that we frequently have about ourselves. The persons we refuse to forgive is the temptations that we frequently succumb to, the insecurities that no academic degree or achievement can erase. It's the political, social, or personal topics that can bring out our rage and our emotions. And when the situations in life cause these to surface, that is why we hurt others with our cutting words, our actions, and our reactions. And what most people do is we spill all this onto others. And then what do? We just carry on with our day because there's much to do and a public image to keep up. But because we're so busy, we don't have time to deal with what's in here. And so do you know what happens? The anger, the unforgiveness, the frequent unmet expectations that we had to endure, the resentments and the criticisms of us, they all grow until the next incident that happens. And because we don't deal with it, more things start to grow. And more time doesn't heal what's in here until the next incident happens, and then we spill out more onto others when we get bumped. And so the cycle keeps repeating because there's no time to deal with the junk that we carry around inside, which affects who we're becoming the future that we have, and it puts a strain or destroys our relationships. And there are a few reasons why we don't deal with what's inside of us. The first is we don't have time to deal with it. It takes time to deal with what's inside. And because we're so busy with all that needs to be done, we end up just stuffing our emotions, our pain, our loss, and our grief, hoping that we will never, ever see it again. But then all that we are trying to stuff eventually bubbles up again. And in due time, as we spill what's inside of us onto the next person, as it hurts them. Number two, we don't want to deal with it because things are too painful. Have you ever tried talking to someone about their past or hurt or their reaction, and they quickly say, "I don't want to talk about it," as they shut down the conversation? We know people like that. In fact, you may be like that. So they may look successful in other areas of their life, like their job or their reputation, because they focus all their time there just so that they don't have to deal with what's inside. Or they will hide in serving God or find other escapes so that they don't have to deal with their junk. Number three, we think time will just heal us. Many people think that just as a physical wound will heal over time, so will our unprocessed emotions, trauma, and pain. But that is not true. In fact, decades can pass. And when we don't deal with our junk, we actually become more angry, more negative, and more toxic when it comes to our outlook on life and how we relate with other people. Number four, we don't know how to deal with it. Our parents didn't really deal with their junk, and so we think that we don't need to as well. Things like sharing how you feel or going for therapy or counseling is considered taboo and weak. And so only those that really need it need to go, but not me. And so we get frustrated with ourselves because we keep doing the same things that hurt us, hurt others, and hurt our relationships. And because we don't deal with what needs to be dealt with internally, we become convinced that it's everyone else's fault for the problems and predicaments that we face, as we blame others for our reactions or even abuse them, as we continue to think that we are always right. I knew a husband who would berate his wife with cutting words and even would physically beat her. But he didn't think that he did anything wrong. In fact, he would say that she deserved all of it for getting him mad, and that is why he was justified to respond the way that he did. And we can do the same as we justify our inappropriate behavior towards others because it's their fault. They made us do or say what we did. We blame our spouse, our kids, our boss, our coworkers, our friends for the problems that we have and why things are not right, when God is actually trying to get our attention so that he can change us and heal us. We're so busy that many of us have held on to old wounds that have contributed to our destructive patterns that have never been treated. But we have found unique ways to conceal our secret sins so that we don't allow Jesus the opportunity to forgive and heal us. We may look happy and holy on the outside when we come to church, but inside we're full of anger or pain. Such unaddressed issues that we hold on to over the years eventually affect our marriage, our relationships with others, the way that we raise our children, how we deal with boundaries, and even how we cope with the problems that we face. Many can consider themselves to be followers of Jesus, but remain emotionally immature adults that are reactive and easily offended, which actually gets in the way of us growing spiritually. And so instead of being more like Jesus, we are more unlike Jesus because we're too busy to deal with what's in here. Because if we're going to follow Jesus, then we want the kind of spirituality that goes deeper than going to church or having a lot of Bible knowledge or even the way that we serve or give or even what theological positions that we have. We actually want the kind of spirituality that transforms our hearts, our attitudes, our motives, our behaviors, and ultimately our lives. And if you don't consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus and you are joining us today, then I want you to lean in as to what doing real life with Jesus can look like and how it could ultimately change your own life. That is why God encourages us to slow down. Because by slowing down, we can become present to what is actually happening in and around us. And when we slow down, and when we take time to listen to what is happening in us, three things can start to happen. We start to develop an awareness of ourselves, an awareness of God, an awareness of others. So let's talk about what it means to have an awareness of ourselves. This is where you start to know yourself and your tendencies to respond or react based on what happens. What are the things that make you happy, sad, angry, or frustrated? Having awareness is also realizing how broken and sinful you are and how you fall short of the standards that you have for yourself and with the standards that others have placed on you. It's being aware of how you control and manipulate in order to get your way. It's being aware of how you have been hurt and how you can hurt others with your words and with your actions. It's being aware of the grudges and unforgiveness that you still hold on to, the hurts, the losses, and the grief that were never dealt with, and how it affects your mood and how you treat yourself and even other people. It's being aware of your tendencies to exhibit your ego in situations or people please. It's being aware of how judgmental you are, your tendency to ignore or suppress emotions or conflict, and to not live within your limits. Because it is when you understand your brokenness and your tendencies to do wrong, your pride starts to subside and humility can now come in because you realize that you don't have it all together and you can't fix yourself because you have tried and you have failed. That is why in his most famous sermon, Jesus said to the crowd that was following him, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Jesus is saying that those who mourn, meaning feel sorrow and grief for their sins, their brokenness, and how they have hurt themselves and even others, those are the same people that will find God. And that those are the same people that will be comforted by God. Those who realize their need for help will get the help and healing that they need from God. But what happens is that most people are not aware of themselves, or they are aware, but refuse to get help because they think that they can fix themselves. And we all know people like this. You can see them coming a mile away as you just want to run the other way. They are prideful and just think and talk about themselves all the time. They have behaviors that tick off everyone else around them, but they don't know that they're doing it. They're frequently complaining about something. They're opinionated about everything, or they're blaming others for what is wrong. They're usually isolated, which keeps them in the dark about their blind spots, or because they keep spilling their junk onto others, no one wants to be around them. Or they do know, because you have told them kindly, or even multiple times, but they refuse to change. And whatever you bring up is usually met with defensiveness and them not wanting to listen. And growing up, I always thought that I was right and it was everybody else that was wrong. I allowed my unprocessed emotions to always get the best of me as I just told people as it is. I was telling them the truth, but it was all truth. And when truth was pointed back at me, I deflected or denied because it wasn't me that was the problem, but everyone else. And even though I thought I was right, I didn't like who I was becoming because I was leaving behind a wake of broken relationships that were filled with conflict. More education and degrees couldn't change me internally because I kept making the same mistakes. Willpower didn't help because I would just succumb to my sinful tendencies and my addictions. When I tried not to do wrong, I ended up doing wrong. And I started to realize that I was broken, but didn't have any answers for my brokenness. And it wasn't until a family member told me that I was indeed broken and that I wouldn't ever be able to fix myself and that God was the only one that could fix me. And that is why community is so important, because we need others whom we can trust, who can be our mirrors and lovingly point out our blind spots. But many people think that they're okay and that they can just figure things out on their own. But then years and even decades pass and they never change, and their eternal junk keeps hurting them, keeps hurting others, and they pass that junk from generation to generation. Or they look like they change because they focus on the exterior parts of their lives, like work or success, that look shiny so that it can overshadow the darker parts in their lives that are hidden. But I'm a success at work. Oh, look at all that I've done, they will say, even though their relationships and themselves are internally crumbling. But it's only when you realize that you are broken that you will start to look to a Savior who can fix you. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says that God's favor will be on anyone who realizes and sees their need for God. It is that person that says, "I've tried it all and I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. I can't figure out my life because I keep going around this merry-go-round of making the same mistakes time and time again." Because it is only when you swallow your pride, come in humility, and see your need for God that you will get God, and change and healing can now start to happen. That is why when we first develop an awareness of ourselves, we will start to develop an awareness of God. This is where you humble yourselves and you say, "God, I need you to change me because I don't like who I'm becoming and I don't like where my life is going." It's where your heart is malleable and where you cooperate with God to deal with the disappointments, the hurts, and the trauma that you carry around every single day. It is letting God into all the areas of your life, even the ones that are hidden. Instead of saying, "I'm not going to talk about that," you get to the point where you are saying, "Yes, I will talk about that." See, God knows that He will wait for us to talk only when we are ready, because He will never force Himself on us. That's why until you are ready to surrender and talk with God, the healing can't begin. And when we're ready to talk with Him, God will challenge our worldview and the ways that we have been doing things. He will challenge our attitudes and invite us to heal from the past so that we can move forward in the present and the future. He will challenge the way that you are currently living that is contrary to the way that He would want you to live. And He will invite you to start doing things His way. That is why counseling works, because it is the process of talking things out again and again so that you can gain perspective, grieve, and heal. It is talking that you gain more of an awareness of yourself and even your actions. It is where you learn to give, let go, and take steps to make things right. Because it is when we start to be more aware of ourselves first that we start to have more of an awareness of God, which now allows us to be more aware of others. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." This is where you want to do what's right. You are aware of who you have hurt, and you take the steps to now make things right. Because God is changing you, and because you yourself have experienced His love, mercy, and forgiveness, you can now extend that same love, mercy, and forgiveness to others. Instead of just thinking of yourself, you actually think of yourself less as you develop compassion and an empathy for others. You listen more and you look for ways to love and serve others the way that Jesus loves and serves them. We are aware of others because we are attuned with what our needs are, and so we treat others the way that we want to be treated. That is why, in order to deal with what's in here, we have to take time to examine ourselves and to look at what is spilling out and from where it's all coming from. Because it is when you start addressing the root that the symptoms of your unhealthiness starts to subside. When we slow down and take time to listen to what is happening in us, we can start to develop an awareness of ourselves, an awareness of God, and an awareness of other people. See, every time we examine ourselves, we are reminded that we are sinners saved by grace. And because we have a relationship with God, we examine ourselves daily so that our lives can better reflect the salvation that we have. Scripture says, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." When we look at ourselves in light of who God is, it not only drives us to Him, but we also find the healing that we truly need. And this spiritual practice is known as the daily examine, which is a practice of reviewing our day and actions in the presence of God. This is where we are setting aside time daily for reflection of what God has to say about all aspects of our life, and then taking the steps to do something about those things that He brings up to us. Just like you have a mirror that allows you to examine your face or body, this spiritual practice is like a mirror that allows us to review our thoughts, our motives, and our actions from the day or even from the past. And because many of us are either always on the go or busy doing something, we very rarely pause during our day to examine ourselves and allow God to speak into our lives. This examine process can last anywhere from 5 minutes to however long you want it to last. I'm going to walk with you through the steps, and we are actually going to practice this right now so that you can then do this yourself daily on your own. Step one, silence and presence. Begin your time in silence with God for 2 minutes as you slow down and prepare to hear from God and speak with Him. After the 2 minutes of silence, it is saying, "God, please make your presence known to me as I examine my day with you. Let me see what you want me to see." So let's go ahead and take 2 minutes right now of silence, and then we will pray that prayer together on the screen. Let's pray together. God, please make your presence known to me as I examine my day with you. Let me see what you want me to see. Step 2, give thanks. Thank God for one or two of the blessings, big and small, that you received today. An example is, God, hey, thank you that I have a family. Or, God, thank you that I have a roof over my head, etc. So let's go ahead and take a minute to do that right now. Step 3, examine and confession. Review your shortcomings. What areas of your day did you fall short on? How were you feeling when it happened and why? What do you need to confess to God? This time is only as good as how honest you're going to be with God. For example, in my own life, God may bring to mind an interaction with my wife, and I can admit to God, God, sorry, I was irritable and impatient with her and with my response to her. She loves me so much and is really looking out for me. So I don't know why I treat her that way sometimes. Well, God may bring up an area where I was worried and tried to take matters into my own hands. And so I say, hey, God, forgive me for not including you in my worry and for not trusting you. And it's also being mindful of how I'm feeling. You know, am I angry? Why? Am I sad? Why? What caused it? And is it? And then it's using that time to let God know how I'm feeling. Because when we talk things out, that junk and all those marbles can now come out as we find healing because we're not holding on to them anymore. And the more you do this, the more you become aware of yourself, of God, and of others. And you can do this freely on your own. And if you want more of a structured way, some questions that can guide you are picking one or two of the following as we dive deeper and allow God to speak to us. Questions like, have I compromised my integrity in any way today? Has my thought life been pure today? How have I been tempted today? How did I respond? What one sin plagued my walk with God today? Did I treat my family members, peers, and coworkers as people loved by God? What was my biggest disappointment? How did I decide to handle it? Did I take time to show compassion for others in need? Did I control my tongue? What did I do this week to enhance my relationships with others this week? Is the visible me and the real me consistent? See, it's questions like these that will help us to look inward as we examine areas of our life with God. And as I talk and sit with Him on things that need addressing, I can confess my failure as I ask God for His mercy and forgiveness. And so we're going to do that right now. And we're going to take 2 minutes to pick a question or two on the screen as we examine our lives and confess what we need to do with God. Step four, surrender. Knowing that God gives direction and the power to change, what areas of your life did God bring up that you would need to start surrendering to Him? Maybe it's your quick judgments, your tendency to complain, your anger, your pride, your selfishness, your comforts. See, it is when we surrender that God can now have His way with us and in us. Surrendering is saying, God, I am giving this area over to you because this is a constant problem for me. I need your help and I need your power to overcome this. So let's take a minute to silently have a time as we surrender what we need to surrender to God. Step five, repent. Ask God to help you to take the necessary steps to change and do what He says so that you can start to live life the way that He intended for you to live. To repent means to decide to stop what you are currently doing, which is wrong, and to decide to start doing what God says is right. And so repentance is making a 180-degree turn away from your ways of doing things and turning to God's ways of doing things. It's having a change in my mind to start living differently. And it's verbalizing that to God and then living it out. It's now starting to make our relationships with others right based on what we know that we need to do now. So let's take a minute to have this time with God. And step six, look forward to the day to come. And be examined with this last step, knowing that you are forgiven and loved by God, and asking Him to help you with the day to come. So let's take a minute to do that silently on our own right now. The daily examine helps us to not only slow down, but to allow God into our lives as he transforms us to become more like him. The daily examine has personally helped me to be more aware of myself, more aware of God, and more aware of other people. But in order to do it, I have to choose to slow down so that I can walk with God and allow him to address any sort of unhealthiness in me. It's a daily process that takes time, but you will find that you will do less spilling onto others because there is less and less to spill in here. Going back to that story I told earlier about my interactions with the guy in the truck, you know, during a break in my meeting, I actually ran back to that parking spot of the incident, hoping that the guy's truck was there so that I could find him and apologize. But the truck wasn't there. I felt terrible for what I had done. And that day continues to be a reminder that hurry and love are incompatible. And every time I may feel impatient with someone, have a tendency to pass judgment on them, or even think that I am better than them, that I need to slow down and examine myself with God first so that his spirit can change me and how I function. Because remember, when we slow down and take time to listen to what is happening in us, we can start to develop an awareness of ourselves, an awareness of God, and an awareness of others. Let me pray for us. God, forgive us when we allow our sin to get the best of us. Forgive us for the times that we have not been aware of ourselves and as a result have hurt others in the process. God, cleanse us and make us new. And we surrender our lives and our ways to you. We surrender our hurts and our past to you. We need your touch. We need your healing. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. You want to know that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with him now and for all eternity. He lived a perfect life and then he chose to die for your sins and mine, so that we can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did Jesus die, but on the third day, he rose from the dead, proving to the world that he wasn't just a man, but he's the God who saves all. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help to transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.